This morning, I'm finishing up. I told you last week we were starting to conclude the Doors series, and so this is the last sermon from the Doors series. I couldn't believe when I looked back how many weeks we've stood or we've been in this topic, but we've taken a break. I think Easter came in there somewhere, and Palm Sunday, and so we kind of went that direction, but I want to bring to conclusion the point of the Doors today. But a couple weeks ago, before we took a break again from the series last Sunday, which we talked about prayer, since that was National Day of Prayer this week, but the Sunday before, I dealt with the door of healing, which I called the blocked door, because we dealt with the gentleman that couldn't get in to see Jesus, and so they had to tear the roof off and come in that direction. So we talked about the blocked door and spent more time with the physical side of healing. And I told you then that I wanted to do one more message, but on the emotional side of healing. How many's glad to know that there's a door of healing for every wound? Praise God. So that's what we're wanting to talk about today, and that's why our song just really, I think, was appropriate and fit well. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. 12 and 13 is the verses I want to draw your attention to this morning. Hebrews 12, 12 and 13. Please come tonight. We've got pre-service prayer at 6 o'clock in the prayer room. We've got choir 5 o'clock. Choir members, be mindful of that as well. If you're a visitor here this morning, we want you to feel welcome here among us at Broadway Assembly. We just love people, love the Lord, and love the Word of God. Amen. How many know that when you open the Bible, God opens His mouth? And when we close the Bible, in a sense, God closes His mouth. So I want to keep the Bible open. I always want to have an open mind towards the Word of God. So Hebrews chapter 12, 12 and 13. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be what? Let it be healed. Now, before we get into my thought, I want to read this passage to you from the Amplified Bible, which simply amplifies the meaning there. So then, brace up and reinvigorate and set right your slackened, weakened, drooping hands, and strengthen your feeble and palsied and tottering knees, and cut through and make firm and plain and smooth straight paths for your feet. Safe and upright and happy paths that go in the right direction, so that the lame and halting limbs may not be put out of joint, but rather be cured. Cured. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you are the healer. Lord, I pray if there's an individual here with a hidden wound in their heart, Lord, I pray they'll let it be healed. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people say amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. The door of healing. I've used this illustration before. Maybe you'll remember it. But I can't not mention it because it's just very fitting. And I'm not making light of anyone that is going through cancer or cancer treatments. We all probably have been touched with some cancer in our families. I know my mother passed away from cancer. And so I'm not making light of that. But I was reading one time about a dear sister in the church who was undergoing chemotherapy. And with that, obviously, the loss of her hair. And one morning she got up and looked in the mirror, and she had 3 hairs left. And she said, how am I going to fix my hair today? 3 hairs? Well, I think I'll braid it. She braided her hair, went on, and had a very good day. The next morning she woke up and she only had two hairs. How am I going to fix my hair today? I think I'll just part it down the middle and let it go. That's what she did. Had a very good day. The next morning she got up and had one hair left. Ponytail day. She went on and had a very good day. The next day she got up, didn't have any hair left. She said, praise God, I don't even have to fix my hair today. Huh? She wasn't about to let it wound her spirit. How many know what I'm talking about? Praise God. I'm glad that we're able to believe in a God that can be the healer. Not only physically, but emotionally. Some of us have broken bones. We've had broken bones. Some of us have had scratches and stitches. But the wounds and the healing that I want to talk about this morning goes beyond physical. I want to talk about some hidden wounds. They can't be stitched. They can't be stapled or bandaged. Scripture identifies mental and emotional healing as a crucial part of Christ's ministry. And in Luke chapter 4, I believe it's along verse 18, Jesus said that his Father sent him to heal the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's depression. That's emotional depression. Christ knew that thoughts and feelings play an important role in our lives. And as our feelings connect with our thoughts, our emotions are then formed. And I believe God created us with emotions so that our lives would be enriched. And God could have created us without emotions. We would have been intelligent and calculating, insensitive machines and robots. But that brand of life, how many would say amen, would be kind of dull, right? Instead, God has given us an amazing capacity for emotions in seemingly infinite combinations, types, and intensities. And so like the old age, old problem of evil, we have the possibility to take the emotions that were intended to help us to live life to the fullest. And a lot of times we take, and instead of receiving help, we receive hurt. Instead of experiencing life, we receive emotional death. And so it's interesting how often I was thinking this week, how often we like to talk about maybe an old physical wound. We like to describe maybe a heroic act that caused us to get the stitches or the broken bone, or maybe even sometimes when we tell the story, we kind of embellish it a little bit. Hello. How many know what I'm talking about? And we like to describe that. But just a split second recollection of a hidden emotional wound causes pain. We don't like to think about that. We don't like to address that. Such, for example, may be memories of verbal abuse in our past. Memories of ridicule. Memories of criticism. Memories of neglect or prejudice or hatred. Physical abuse. Emotional abuse. Even spiritual. And when you ask, well, where do we get all these hidden wounds? Well, everywhere. Society. Our family. Parents. Children, brothers, sisters, hello, aunts, uncles, friends, acquaintances, even fellow church members, right? One thing is certain, everybody has or has had a hidden wound, an emotional scar, unless you've been sheltered or you've lived like a hermit and had no dealings with anybody. So everybody has had at least a wound or two that they mask by wearing this permanent facade so they can conceal that emotional scar from something or somebody in their past. Another thing is certain. Most of the time, emotional wounds can take longer to heal than physical wounds. How many know that's the truth? A soldier comes back from war, and physically he has maybe shrapnel in his body. He's limping. He's got bandages on his arms and around his head. But give him, 6 to 9 months at the most, and he'll physically probably be okay. But the emotional wounds from the ravages of war will be with him, how many know, for a long, 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 long time. But no matter the source, whether it was the enemy, whether it was a friend, a family member, a spouse, former or present, a Christian, a minister, a church member, no matter the source, there is healing. Church, I want to tell somebody, there is healing this morning for every wound you have. 2 weeks ago, I reminded us of Jehovah Rapha, because for every one of our greatest needs as human beings, there is a corresponding name of God. Let me remind you of a few. Jehovah Jireh, we talked about, means God will provide. Jehovah Nissi means the Lord is our deliverance. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is the ever-present one. The Jehovah Imkadesh means the Lord saves. And in Exodus 15, he said, I am Jehovah Rapha, which means I'm the God who heals. And in Psalm 147:3, the Bible says, he heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Praise. Praise God. You see, our sin situation, church, requires a Savior, right? But our emotional situation requires a healer. And when we repent and are born again through the conviction of the Spirit and the power of the blood that takes care of our sin situation. But what we then need is a healing of the mind, a healing of our will, a healing of our emotions. Being born again puts us in the right relationship with God. But there are still many hidden wounds that have to be dealt with. And don't get me wrong, God is more interested in our salvation than in our emotions. But the truth is, we can't be everything He wants us to be or do everything He wants us to do. We can't really live a fulfilling life if we don't get a healing of some things in the past that haunt our hearts and keep our minds in turmoil. God says, okay, I forgive you in an instant. I washed away your sins in a moment. I filled you with my Spirit. But there's more to it than that. He says, I want to heal some hurts.
Aren't you glad he goes on?
I want to heal some hurts. I want to heal some hidden wounds so that you can live life to its fullest and experience peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. And too many of us let God deal with the sin part of our life, but never let Him deal with the emotional part. And that only leads to a lot of frustration. Everybody say frustration. Why? Because we still have wounds. Those emotional scars of past situations, abuses, criticism, wrongdoings hold us back from everything that God has for us. It's like we can go so far and then suddenly our adversary, the enemy of our soul, reminds us of what somebody did to us and how it has affected us. And immediately we're disappointed again and we don't trust anybody and we start questioning everybody's Christianity. Hello? Know what happened? And so when this happens, but God is saying, I want to heal those hurts. I want to heal those hurts. I want to bind up those wounds and I want to help you get over those things. And now I don't know about you, but I used to think that you can praise your way through anything. But now I realize that is probably only partially true. Because there are some things that praise can't deliver you from. It does a lot, don't get me wrong. But there are some things that clapping your hands, there's some things that singing and shouting and saying hallelujah just is not going to take care of. Hello. That's where a lot of believers, I think, have missed opportunities to let God do some long-term healing in their lives. Especially us as Pentecostals. How many is Pentecostal in here? I mean, we sing and we clap our hands and we say the right words and we have the right shouts. But oftentimes those hidden wounds never get healed. You say, Pastor, why is that? It's because being in an atmosphere where there's a lot of praise and God's Spirit is there, everybody leaves feeling great. We oftentimes mistake feeling for healing.
Oh, help me preach this morning. We often mistake feeling for healing. That's why many believers' lives are like an extreme roller coaster spiritually. We leave church feeling great. I'm telling you, we are on top of it all. Huh? But by midweek, we are under it all. Come on. Is that not the truth? Huh? I said by midweek we are under it all. And listen, come Sunday we're back up again. When that happens, it means our walk with God is based more on sensation than on substance. Oh, help me preach. I said that means our walk with God is based on sensation rather than substance. Based more on what we feel and what we do than what we allow God to do in us. Example, let me pick on ministers because I are one. Okay? Let me move because I got to hurry. In the life of a Pentecostal believer or minister more specifically, I was thinking this week, the anointing is a powerful privilege that we experience and we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. Many ministers, after having preached under the anointing, we feel 10 feet tall and bulletproof. Hello? But the next day, reality hits us and we're back down to 5'9" and vulnerable. I'm a little taller than that. And if we're not careful as ministers, we get on this roller coaster where spirituality becomes more feeling and sensation than substance. And that's similar to what happens to those of us who have hidden emotional, spiritual wounds. It's a roller coaster syndrome spiritually. It's feeling-based spirituality. Or you could say it's mood-based spirituality. It's when your mood is in the mercury in your spiritual thermometer. Few will admit it, but it's all too common. So the question is, what should we do? How can we be healed? How can we be healed of what's been hidden? The wounds from the past that steal the joy, the criticisms, the situations where we were done wrong, or maybe verbal abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse, backstabbing, betrayal of a friend or someone we respected. It might be something that somebody said to you. It may have been somebody in authority, maybe even like a pastor, or someone you had respect for. And the words cut like a knife. You just can't seem to get over it. Let me announce to you, God is ready. And He's waiting. And most of all, He's able to heal what's been hidden. So there's some, I want to share with you some simple steps we have to take in this healing process. Hebrews says, let it be healed. We've got a responsibility. Number one, if you're taking notes, reveal it to God. Now you say, He already knows. Yes, He knows. But we've got to reveal it to Him just like we would confess a sin. We'll never be healed until we do that. The Bible talks about the problem of stuffing it down inside. David said in Psalm 39 that he kept quiet, but became even more and more upset. And the more he thought about it, the more he burned inside. That's my paraphrase. He's saying holding on to hurts is like carrying hot coals in your heart, where the one who's going to get burned is us. Huh? Hidden wounds, when we try to stuff them down, they don't heal, church. They fester. Huh? And pushing a hurt inside doesn't get rid of it. It just makes it worse. David said that when he kept things to himself, he felt weak inside. He said, I moaned all the day long. He said it was emotionally and physically draining. Like King David, people deal with these things different ways. Some people just try to forget it. Some turn to drinking and drugs and impure, unholy relationships. Some begin to turn their back on God and begin to question what they believe about Christ. And so people do different things, but none of them, let me tell you, friend, none of them work. Somewhere it's got to be dealt with. So part of the first step is revealing it to God. You got to be honest.
be honest with about three people. Yourself, number one. Stop keeping it in. Talk to yourself. Get honest with yourself and say, self, we got to deal with this.
Hello?
Then you got to be honest with God. Don't be afraid to talk to God about it. Why? Because He saw it all anyway. Hello? Say, God, I've got resentment in my heart. I've got a hurt. I've got something that happened back with so-and-so. And then thirdly, you might have to tell one person that you trust and confide in. You have to be very careful with that one.
Hello?
Not somebody that's going to go tell everybody.
Hello?
And not somebody who's going to use it as an excuse to never go back to church again.
Hello?
But the first step, number one, reveal it to God. The second step is release the perpetrator. We'll never be totally healed as long as we have a mark against somebody in our heart. It doesn't mean we think about it all the time. It doesn't mean that we hate them. But we'll never get past the past until we release the perpetrator. And to truly forgive a person is to ask God to forgive them and to not say, Lord, don't you hold it against them. Don't hold it against them. The Bible says, pray for those who spitefully what? Use you. The best way to release someone is to pray for them. A few years ago, Time magazine had an article titled, Should All Be Forgiven? Question mark. The headline said, quote, giving up that grudge can be good for your health. And it read, and I quote, researchers are pioneering a new science of redemption based on an old form of grace. Look at that. Pioneering a new science of redemption based on an old form of grace. So scientists, in other words, are finally catching up and figuring out what the Bible has been teaching for 2,000 years. Hello. There's been a lot of that lately, haven't there? And we can't hold on to a hurt and enjoy life. Jesus says, let it go. Let it go. Not because they deserve it, but because we need to move on in our lives with God. Don't misunderstand me. I think, and don't think I'm belittling what you've went through. But whatever happened to you, I want to remind you, Christ went through it. Hello? In the final hours of His life, He was humiliated. Huh? You were abused, so was Jesus. You were betrayed, so was Jesus. You were done wrong, so was Jesus. You were falsely accused, so was Jesus. What did He do? In His humanity, He prayed in the garden and He said, Father, forgive them. Actually, He prayed that on the cross, excuse me. He prayed and He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not. What was He doing? He was releasing the perpetrators. Huh? Friend, resentment and bitterness is nothing but poison. Not only does it poison you, it poisons all of those you talk to. Hello? How many seen that in the church world? Huh? Oh, pastor didn't even shake my hand, so I'm going to go tell so-and-so. Hello? Huh? Come on. Now I want you to know, reveal it to God, release the perpetrator, and I want you to get this one. Number three, replace old data with a new revelation of God's truth. How many know our brain is like a million gig hard drive? It records everything. Somehow we allow ourselves to get programmed to where the negative data is replayed more than the positive. Isn't that the truth? Huh? And that is why Romans 12 is at verse 2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That phrase, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, could be more modernly translated in a paraphrase. Be transformed by replacing old data in your mind's hard drive with a fresh revelation of the truth of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, some of us need a fresh revelation of who God is. I said, oh God, would you quicken my vision like you did Isaiah? And when he saw the king die, he said, I got a new revelation of who God really is. And he said, I saw him high and lifted up. Oh God, anoint our eyes. I believe it was the man of God prayed one time with eye salve so that we can see some new revelation from God. Now I want you to see, the scripture is telling us that our life can be transformed by something happening in our minds. First, how do you do it? you start asking God to heal your memory.
Hello? Oh, I'm preaching. This is good preaching. I said, you start by asking God to heal your memories. I don't like so-and-so, or I don't like such-and-such church because I had bad memories. You know what you need to pray? God, heal my memories.
Hello?
Do you know with going to church with people can get kind of sticky and stinky? There's a group out there, they are actually scholars who are in a movement against the church. Any kind of local assembly, they don't go for it. They beat us up. No, 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 no. It's all house groups now. Hello, help me preach. Huh? But I like what somebody said. Even in the house of God. Sure, we're not saying everybody's perfect. We're not claiming to be perfect. And I'm sure on the ark, it got stinky. Hello. But it was the best thing and the only thing afloating. Hello. So be sure you're in the ark. Hello. Hello.
I don't even know. That was totally off the script.
Replacing old data with a new revelation of God. You have to start downloading more of God's Word into your mind's hard drive, church. The only way to get rid of all the negatives is to replace it with the positives of the power of God, the Word of God. It's that third step in the healing by renewing the hard drive of your mind. Replace negative thoughts with powerful, life-changing thoughts of the Word of God. Commit yourself to reading God's Word. Commit yourself to reading through books like John and Acts and Romans that deal with that and establish some new thoughts in your lives. Next, I want you to, number four, refocus on the future. Get your attention off the past. Get refocused on the future. What does God want me to be? What is my calling in life? What is my purpose? What is my ministry that God has set me for? You may not know the answers, but listen, if you start working towards the future, forgetting those things Paul said that are behind and reaching for the future, how? By building on your relationship with Jesus Christ, by asking yourself some questions. How's my prayer life? How's my Bible reading? How's my praise and worship? How's my attendance into the house of God? How's my giving? How's my spiritual discipline and desire? Those are all vital questions that demand answers from the child of God. If you're going to have a fulfilling, a vibrant, and a healthy, powerful Pentecostal relationship with God, you got to quit focusing on the past and refocus on the future.
Oh, I feel the anointing in here.
I don't know who I'm talking to, but listen, somewhere, sometime, we will all come to an intersection of our lives where we have to realize that it no longer matters what happened in the past. I said, you come to this intersection and you say, Lord God, I don't care what happened in my past, but from this point forward, I'm going to commit to God. I'm going to give Him my everything. I'm going to surrender everything to Him. And then you watch and see if God will not prove Himself to you.
Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Lord, for the rest of the year, starting today, I'm going to do everything I can to get closer to you. I'm going to do everything I can to build my relationship with God so I can go into next month or next year looking forward, not backward. Hello? Why in a car is the windshield so big and the rearview mirror is so small? Hello? That shows us the priority that's going to affect us is going to be in front of us. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you look in your rearview mirror. But church, you need to look there to remember where God's brought you from. But not to let it hinder your walk with Jesus Christ. Somebody say, let it be healed. Because God wants you and I to get on in life. He doesn't want us to live life being held back. How many know we've got to learn to trust again? Because if you don't trust, you can't love. And if you can't love, you can't really live. Let God start the healing process today. 2 weeks ago when I preached that message on blocked doors, we had a doctor here. It was a good friend of my father-in-law's, Dr. York. He was on his way to Colorado. And when I shared that text and that thought, he met me in the hallway afterwards. And this gentleman really doesn't have a strong church affiliation. But he met me and he said, you know what? And he began to open up and share with me what had just transpired that very week. And how low he was. And this is what he said. He said, I appreciate you, Pastor, because he said, I believe today was the beginning of my healing. Praise God. I said, God can do it for anybody. I said, God can do it for anybody if you'll give him half a chance. I want us to stand together. One more time this morning, think of that person, that situation that adversely affected your life. And I want you to reveal it to God, number one. I want you to secondly release the person. Number three, I want you to replace those old thoughts or memories with a new revelation of God's truth. Restore your mind. And then number four, refocus on your future. You need a healing. It doesn't matter who you are this morning. It doesn't matter where you've been this morning. It doesn't matter what the sin. It doesn't matter the scar. It doesn't matter how you fell. Hello. Somewhere along the way, there's healing for your hidden wounds. With God's help, broken hearts are mended. Bitter memories and damaged self-esteem can be made whole again. Sinful patterns can be erased and reversed as you invite God to let it be healed. A self-defeating lifestyle of sin can be halted. And a new life can begin. Husbands, wives, let it be healed. Sons, daughters, let it be healed. Brothers, sisters, in Christ and in the family, let it be healed. Every head is bowed and eyes are closed. Would you be honest with the Lord and with me as your pastor? Slip up a hand and say, Pastor, I want that healing you're talking about. Would you do that? I want that healing. Yes. There's hands going up. I need that healing. I want that healing. Let's do it this way. If you need healing, we're not going to probe. We're not going to ask questions. If you need a healing, I want you to slip out of your seat and come and stand across this front. We're going to pray together. We're going to pray together regarding this topic. That's the way I feel to do it this morning. I please ask you to respond. You just step out and step forward. I want the saints to begin to pray. I want these across the front to begin to pray. Come on, is that all? Yes, there's more coming. God, I need some healing inside. I just need some healing inside. Oh, church, He's the healer. He's come to heal the brokenhearted. Thank you, Jesus. These folks right across the front is going to step through the door of emotional healing this morning. Isn't that exciting? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want a few ladies to come and stand behind the ladies that are here. Please, you don't need to probe, don't need to ask questions. I just need some prayer warriors. A few gentlemen to come and stand behind these gentlemen that's come. And the same, you don't need to ask questions. Just lay your hand on their shoulder. Men with men, ladies with ladies. To just say, I'm here with you, sis. I'm here with you, brother. And we're going to agree. Whatever the situation is, I don't need to know. God does. You do, and God does. Oh, I feel the power of God.
Let it be healed.
There's some folks in here that's going to leave
Let
this morning with not just a Band-Aid. It's time to rip the Band-Aid off. You've kept the Band-Aid on there too long. You've got to reveal it to God and say, look right here, Jesus. And He'll say, okay, I tied for that. I took a stripe on my back for that. You say, oh, that was just for physical healing. Yes, it was for physical, but also emotional healing. In Jesus' name, raise your hands this way. Let's begin to pray. God, I know that You see and You feel all the pain that's in the hearts of those that's standing right here in my midst. You know the hurt. You know the resentment. You know the anger. You know the guilt. You know the fear. You know all the insecurities. Or you just know the damage that's been done. You see it all, oh God. And right here, I'm asking desperately. We need that healing. That's it. That's it, ladies. I feel the presence of God. Just say, Lord, I want that healing. I desperately want that healing. All my hidden wounds, all my emotional scars. Today, by faith, I am taking the step. And I'm admitting to You that there's things in my past that has adversely affected me. There's things that I have not been able to get by. Please help me release that. Oh, that's it, young people. That's it, sisters. That's it, brothers. That's it, mom and dad. Just go ahead and say, in Jesus' name, I release it. I release it. The person or the persons. Help me replace. Now, after I've released it, I replace those thoughts of wrongdoing with the thoughts of the goodness of God. Hallelujah. I said, just begin to think about the goodness of God. Listen, church, that's why you're here. God has been good to us this morning. He's let us wake up and come to a moment of healing just like this. Oh, I feel the power of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So right here, right now, all of us, I want us to replace those memories with the revelation of God's truth that says it doesn't matter what's going on in the past. As Paul said, I'm refocusing on the future. Christ, the author and finisher of my faith. I'm going forward. I'm taking my step forward this morning. And I'm going to refocus on my future. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling everybody here, God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for your life. In Jesus' name. But you cannot step into that God-called destiny until you let it be healed. Oh, hallelujah. Let it be healed. I feel the healing presence of God. By His stripes, we're healed. Oh, that's it. Now just take a few moments and pray. Reach out to Jesus. Reach out to Jesus. Reach out to Him.